I've never been to Sam's Club, but I would venture maybe a few of you have. It's usually the building next to Walmart, and they sell everything in bulk for a discount. Things like 10,000 rolls of toilet paper, which you could never use in a lifetime unless you have 26 kids in your church overnight. You could buy hot dogs by the box full and candy by the car full. You can buy garbage bags and you can buy steaks and you can buy anything you can imagine in bulk. But there's a catch with it. You have to be a member of the club before you can take advantage of all that they sell. Now, membership is easy enough to get. You probably just have to fill out a form and pay a few dollars, and then they will happily allow you to shop and spend to your heart's delight. But if you don't have a membership, if you don't have the card with the number that they scan or check, then there's nothing you can do to ever shop at Sam's Club. No membership means no shopping. There's a line in the sand, there's a boundary between who as a member can shop and who as non-members cannot shop. Well, just as Sam's Club has a boundary between who is a member and who isn't, so too is there a boundary when it comes to the people of God. Now, for the longest time, in Jesus' own time, the boundary between who was in and who had access to all the blessings of God and who was out, the line, the boundary, was if you were a Jew or if you were not. If you were a Jew, you were in. You were a child of God. You had all of the blessings that God had blessed with his people. But if you were a Gentile, well, it meant that you were out. No blessings, no salvation, no word of God, no covenant, no signs, no law, no Moses, no God. Well, this idea of having a boundary, what marks off God's people from God's not people, is the idea of this confusing story from the Gospel of Mark this morning. It's confusing because Jesus tells the woman, who was a Greek from the area of Tyre and Sidon, a Syrophoenician by birth, it's confusing because Jesus says no. Jesus says no. She begs him to heal her daughter, and he says no. He says no. The bread is for the children, it's not for the dogs. Well, the bread is the kingdom, the children are the Jews. The dogs, it's not an insult, it's a way of referring to non-Jewish people. He says the boundary is, sorry, you're not a Jew, now is not the time to bless you. In other words, Jesus is acting like the clerk at Sam's Club when you don't have a card. Sorry, you can't shop here. But she sticks with it, doesn't she? If you've ever had a sick child, you know what desperation is. You know you're willing to go to any length for the sake of your son or your daughter. And look at the mother's love that she presses the issue with Jesus. She says, yes, you're right. The bread is for the Hebrew people. But God, us Gentiles, have always had the crumbs. The crumbs, the bits left over. There have always been Gentiles attached to Israel's story. There was the woman in her very own town, in her very own area, that had Elijah in her house. With the unending jar of oil and flour, the dead son that Elisha brings back from the dead. Well, guess what? They weren't Jews. There's the story of Ruth from Moab. She ain't a Jew, and yet she's got a whole book in the Bible named after her. So this woman, in complete desperation, pushes Jesus and said, "Yes, Lord, but you and your God love us still." And then Jesus says, "For saying that, you get what you've asked. Go, your daughter has been healed." There was a boundary between who is and who isn't God's people. But it wasn't a boundary that the people thought it was. It wasn't because they belonged to a certain nation or a certain bloodline or a certain morality. What the boundary was is if a person acknowledged God in faith. That's always been the boundary in the Old Testament between who believes and who doesn't believe. And this woman believed. God didn't care where she was born, what country she was from. She didn't care what she had done right or done wrong. This woman acknowledged him as Lord and God, and he said, "You're in. Here's the kingdom of God. Your daughter is made well." Well, what's that got to do with us? It means for us, God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't pick and choose who to help and who not to help. Oh yes, there's a boundary between who is in the kingdom and who is out of the kingdom, but it's got nothing to do with all of the things of this world. What matters is whether you believe and acknowledge or not believe and not acknowledge. And anybody can do that. If this woman can do it, a Greek, anyone can believe. And God's not going to pick favorites and play favorites. We all know what favoritism means. It means that we love this child more than we love this child. It means that this person gets better benefits than this person. It means this person has something that this person doesn't. So all those Browns fans have got nice words, but the one person wearing a Steelers is not. Where is she? There she is. But while I and we might play favorites and pick and choose, God does not. God didn't care that as Jesus Christ, this woman was a Greek. He didn't care that this woman was from the one nation that was an enemy of the Jewish people. God didn't care. This woman acknowledged Jesus, and that was enough. Yes, there is a boundary between who is in and who is out of the church, but it doesn't have anything to do with our heritage or our nations. It has everything to do with our hearts, whether we believe or not. And that means that anyone can become a good Christian. Anyone can become a good Christian. Because it's by faith and by nothing else. Yes, there is a boundary to get into the church, but it isn't anything to do with this world. It has everything to do with your heart. And that is wonderfully good news, because it doesn't mean that you have to be a Mother Teresa. It means if you acknowledge Jesus, you're in. It doesn't mean that you spent 40 years wasting your life. If you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, guess what? You're in the kingdom. It doesn't matter how much money you have or not have. It doesn't matter if you're sick or healthy. It doesn't matter if you know your Bibles or you don't know your Bibles. It doesn't matter if you're wearing the robes or not wearing the robes. What is the boundary that gets you in the church? It's whether you believe or whether you don't believe. Because the good news is God doesn't play favorites, blessing only one group of people and deciding to curse and punish others. But you see, that might be good news for us, but it also gets us angry, like Jonah was angry. Now everybody knows Jonah for what? The whale, the song, maybe if you learned it in Sunday school. But today's passage is really what the whole point of the book was about. Jonah is mad. He's mad because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh was going to get grace. They were going to get saved. They were going to get blessed. He says to God, I knew you were going to do this. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. Because I know you're a merciful God and a loving God, slow to anger and abundant in covenant love. I knew you were going to save them. That's why I didn't want to go. Kill me, please. I can't take it. Jonah is furious. But why is he furious? Because he hated the Ninevites. They were the biggest enemies of the nation. They were being invaded by these people. This was the superpower of the day. He hated them. God, don't save them. Burn them. But God changed his mind. God repented of the evil that he had planned because the people acknowledged God. The people turned in sackcloth and ashes, and 40 days came by, but there was no punishment because God chose to save. And Jonah gets angry, furious, because Jonah wants to be the favorite. Jonah, bless me, God. Thank you for the bush that took 5 seconds to grow and 5 seconds to kill. Did you notice that Jonah is praising God for the bush? And he's furious. Furious that the largest capital city of the world should not blow up. And he's mad. And he's mad. He was happy when he was blessed, but God blessed Nineveh. What happens if God wants to bless North Korea and not just America? What happens if we don't just get the blessings of God, but God wants to give the blessings to the people we don't want to get? So let's say God wants to bless illegal immigrants from Mexico. Should we not be happy that they're getting blessed? No, we get mad. Because we're not the favorite. We've been born in the United States. God should bless us. God shouldn't bless the refugees coming in to the United States of America. Because then I'm not the favorite. There are a lot of people mad, like Jonah, because God doesn't play favorites. They want to be the favorite. They want the privilege and the advantage. They want to be better. The good news is God doesn't play favorites. Anyone can believe. The bad news is you don't have to be an American to be blessed. You just have to believe. And even if it's our strongest enemies, God wants to love them and bless them, save them. God died for them. So why are we all so angry? Why are we so all angry that we are not God's favorite? That we don't get something that nobody else gets? Why are we mad when